And it's so great to be in the house of the Lord today. Before we get into the Word, we just want to welcome our guest here this morning, all the way from Sri Lanka, our good friend, pastor friend, ministry friend. Would you just stand, Pastor Bandy? We just want to welcome you back to Christ City. Thank you for joining us today. Please pray for him. He's on this side of the pond, and he's going to be ministering in various places. And just journey mercies upon you as well. Amen. Bless you, the church, and your family. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Revelation of the Lord. The perfect revelation of the Lord. You know, how precious the Psalms of David. How costly. What a treasure. This gift. A book among 66, so full, so robust. I'm sure we've all found hope in the Psalms, comfort in the treasury, consolation, solace, rest, refuge and shelter, even empathy. And there, belonging and strength and renewed strength and courage and bravery, assurance and certainty, words, no doubt, for varying seasons of life. This treasury, none could put a price on it, wouldn't sell it, wouldn't trade it, wouldn't barter with it. I don't know about you, but it would break my heart if I could never read it again. I know the pages well, and yet I know that there is revelation yet unknown. The book has been a true companion and will be still. Isn't it wonderful to drink in one verse at a time and hear the pause for reflection, the words sinking deep and going deep. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament, his handiwork. Expanse of heaven, the work of his hands. We gaze into the heavens, taking in the wonder. A heavenly declaration of the glory of God. The heavens, glory, the firmament, his handiwork. What craftsmanship? How can one miss it? How can one not recognize and acknowledge the declaration, this showing as the glory of God, his very handiwork? Nice sky today. Nice sunrise. Nice sunset. Look at all the stars. And yet missing it. Not getting it. Not identifying it. Not seeing it. Day after day. Night after night, the heavens, the firmament, declaring, announcing, testifying, witnessing, pouring out. More to hear and more to learn. Does the Bible not say, Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made? Even his eternal power and Godhead, that is divine nature, deity, so that they are without excuse. The Voice Bible reads, from the beginning, creation in its magnificence, enlightens us to his nature. Creation itself makes his undying power and divine identity clear, even though they are invisible. And it voids the excuses and ignorant claims of these people. Day after day, night after night. This from the treasury of David. The heavens are plural for their variety, comprising the watery heavens with their clouds of countless forms, the aerial heavens with their calms and tempests, the solar heavens with all the glories of the day, and the starry heavens with all the marvels of the night. What the heaven of heavens must be hath not entered into the heart of man, but there in chief all things are telling the glory of God. Any part of creation has more instruction in it than human mind will ever exhaust. But the celestial realm is peculiarly rich in spiritual lore. The heavens declare or are declaring, for the continuance of their testimony is intended by the particles employed. Every moment God's existence, power, wisdom, and goodness are being sounded abroad by the heavenly heralds which shine upon us from above. He who would guess at divine sublimity should gaze upward into the starry vault. He who would imagine infinity must peer into the boundless expanse. He who desires to see divine wisdom should consider the balancing of the orbs. He who would know divine fidelity must mark the regularity of the planetary motions, and he who would attain some conceptions of divine power, greatness, and majesty must estimate the forces of attraction, the magnitude of the fixed stars, and the brightness of the whole celestial train. It is not merely glory that the heavens declare, but the glory of God. For they deliver to us such unanswerable arguments for a conscious, intelligent, planning, controlling, and presiding creator that no unprejudiced person can remain unconvinced by them. The testimony given by the heavens is no mere hint, but a plain, unmistakable declaration. And it is a declaration of the most constant and abiding kind. Yet for all this, to what avail is the loudest declaration to a deaf man, or the clearest showing to one spiritually blind? God, the Holy Ghost, must illuminate us, or all the suns in the Milky Way never will. Is there no inquisition, consideration, examination, pondering? Gaze upward. Peer into the boundless. Consider the balancing. Mark the regularity. Estimate the forces, the magnitude, the brightness. See glory? See the glory of God. I mean, this has to be, must be, divine design. Only the foolish or the deaf or the spiritually blind would deem otherwise. Look! Look! Can't you see it? Can't you see him? His glory and his handiwork. The glory and this handiwork, not handy in the carnal sense or in the vulgar sense, no. We are witnessing his handwork. Further words, in the expanse above us, God flies, as it were, his starry flag to show that the king is at home and hangs out his escutcheon that atheists may see how he despises the denunciations of him. He who looks up to the firmament and then writes himself down an atheist brands himself at the same moment as an idiot or a liar. Strange is it that some who love God are yet afraid to study the God-declaring book of nature. The mock spirituality of some believers who are too heavenly to consider the heavens has given color to the vaunts of infidels that nature contradicts revelation. The wisest of men are those who with pious eagerness trace the goings forth of Jehovah as well in creation as in grace. Only the foolish have any fears, lest the honest study of the one should injure our faith in the other. Dr. M. Koss said, science has a foundation, and so has religion. Let them unite their foundations, and the basis will be broader. And they will be two compartments of one great fabric reared to the glory of God. Louis Pasteur, he said, the more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator. No fear here. Trace his goings in creation and in grace. Creation, the glory and handwork of God, has served and will continue to serve great purpose, for it has happened and it is happening and it shall happen that atheists turn to the Lord, that the deaf one and the spiritually blind one will be illuminated by the Holy Ghost. Infidels, skeptics, assailants, the ignorant will turn to God. And the Lord is not afraid that this creation declaration of his glory and the handwork might serve in some way as a hindrance to believing. He is not scared of science. He created it in its pure form. He is not intimidated by ungodly scientists, academics, astrologists, nor any other opposer and their vaunts. The king is at home. And he despises their denunciations, denials, delusions, theories. Billy Graham said these words, "The entire educational system is rampant with evolution." Universities that were founded upon Scripture now teach atheistic or theistic evolution, producing skeptics, agnostics, or atheists with little or no regard for God. Biblical creation is the only answer that has stood the test of time because it is founded on the absolute truth of God's word that never changes. No fear here. Let us not fear. Never fear when one gazes into the sky. Rather, let us pray that the Holy Ghost illuminate them. That the declaration of the heavens, the showing of the firmament, awaken a lost world. And if we should stand next to them, let us raise our voices. Look! What wonder! The heavens declaring the glory of God. Look! This is the handwork of God. Sometimes we're missing the opportunity. God paints the sky. And somebody comments, "What a beautiful day. Did you see that sunrise? What an opportunity to witness." Psalm 19:1, the Wycliffe Bible, "The heavens tell out the glory of God, and the firmament telleth out the works of his hands. The voice, the celestial realms announce God's glory. The skies testify of his hands' great work." The message, God's glory is on tour in the skies. God craft on exhibit across the horizon. Madame Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures every evening. Eyewitness. Eyewitness. I give witness. Can I get a witness? There is no doubt you've witnessed it. And even those without natural sight seem to be able to tell. And the other senses woven into them testify of the handwork of God. There upon the face, the warmth of the sun and the drops of water as the rain descends. I feel it. I hear it. The announcement of the glory of God. Psalm 150, verse 1, "Praise him in his mighty firmament, expansive heaven." Hallelujah. Madame Day, hold your classes. Professor Knight, keep your lectures, and I know you will. I know you both will, for you are in the service of the King. The glories of the morning. And I hear you, preacher. Look up. on a starry night and you will see the majesty and power of an infinite creator. We've all been in attendance in Madame Day's classes, and we've all been present in Professor Knight's lectures. Have we learned? And the trading of delusion for truth? One stands in a gallery, a great gallery of art, standing before a painting, so glorious, so beautiful, so majestic, so magnificent, so breathtaking, so divine. Every brushstroke, so intentional. It's like this piece of art seems impossible, implausible, unbelievable, unreal, so magnificent, so breathtaking, so incredible, so dreamlike, so surreal. There they are, eyes wide open, drinking in the wonder. How did this come to be? The person utters audibly, and a voice speaks up. I've stood here many times looking at this work of art. Really? Tell me what you know about its history, its origin. Well, I was told that there were these cans of paint, a paintbrush, this rolled up canvas, and some bars of gold in an old storage room here in the gallery. Yes? And? Well, no one really knows, I guess, but what they say happened is one night there was a real loud explosion in the room and the night guard raced in. He opened the door. Yes? Yes? And when he opened the door, there was this divine otherworldly painting supported by this unearthly golden easel. Really? Yes, really? And what did he call this masterpiece? The Big Bang. How long ago did this happen? So many millions, billions of years ago. But this gallery hasn't been here nor open that long. Oh. Strange. Sounds like strange theory to me. C.S. Lewis said, "No philosophical theory which I have yet come across is a radical improvement on the words of Genesis that in the beginning God made heaven and earth." Psalm 19, verse 2, "Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." Where do you live? It does not matter. Where do you call home? It does not matter. The days are speaking this utterance. The nights are revealing this knowledge. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Where are you on the planet? Psalm 19, verse 3, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Every nation, tribe, and tongue, their voice is heard in every nation, tribe, and tongue. Heard. But oh, for ears to hear. Psalm 19:4, "Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." Their line, that is their sound, their business. And here the latter part of verse 4 flows into verse 5. "In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race." I mean, we used to sing a song. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls? Martin Luther said, in a mouse, we admire God's creation and craft work. The same may be said about flies. Mice and flies. Admiration of God's creation and this sun. Verse 6, its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Back up to verse 5, the Voice Bible, the sun is like a groom who, after leaving his room, arrives at the wedding in splendor. He is the strong runner who, favored to win in his race, is eager to face his challenge. The morning sun racing into the tape. The next time someone comments on a sunrise, the next time someone points to a painted sky, the next time someone praises the orchestra of the stars, the next time someone texts urging us to look outside at the sunset, people of God, give glory where glory is due, and may the announcement of the celestial realms, coupled with our witness and the effectual work of the Holy Ghost, wake a world to the glory of God. Don't miss it. Have a Bible. Every Christian should. And not just have one. Have a Bible. Have you ever read the Bible? Have you cracked open the holy book? Have you taken in the very word of the living God? Ever lent out a Bible? Ever purchased a Bible for another? Have you ever given one as a gift or handed one to a stranger? Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We can see here, we see it here, the text pointing to the text. Converting the soul, restoring the soul. C.S. Lewis said, in reading Chesterton as in reading MacDonald, I did not know what I was letting myself in for. A young man who wishes to remain a sound atheist cannot be too careful of his reading. There are traps everywhere. Bibles laid open, millions of surprises. As Herbert says, fine nets and stratagems. God is, if I may say it, very unscrupulous. Martin Luther, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold on me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The power of the book. And this speaks to of direction, instruction, body of prophetic teaching, custom manner, principles, doctrine. I mean, what a gift. What a gift, people. What a gift that we have been given the Bible. It's the book for me. Back to the psalm, the message reads, the revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. It really does. It pulls even the most fragmented of lives together. A.W. Tozer said, the Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into Him, that they may delight in his presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God himself in the core and center of their hearts. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Charles Spurgeon said, the Bible is a vein of pure gold, unalloyed by quartz or any earthly substance. This is a star without a speck, a sun without a blot, a light without darkness, a moon without its paleness, a glory without a dimness. O Bible, it cannot be said of any other book that it is perfect and pure, but of thee we can declare all wisdom is gathered up in thee without a particle of folly. This is the judge that ends the strife where wit and reason fail. This is the book untainted by any error, but is pure, unalloyed, perfect truth. People of God, never underestimate the power of the perfect Word of God, the perfect law of the Lord. It's converting power. It's instilling power. It's transforming power. It's keeping power. It's bolstering power. You know, one stated, the Bible banned, burned, beloved, more widely read, more frequently attacked than any other book in history. Generations of intellectuals have attempted to discredit it. Dictators, even of this time, dictators of every age have outlawed it and executed those who read it. Yet soldiers carry it into battle, believing it more powerful than their weapons. Fragments of it, smuggled into solitary prison cells, have transformed ruthless killers into gentle saints. J.I. Packer said these words, "If I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folk from digging into the Bible." Your Bible's sitting on a shelf, coffee table, dust covered. Might be time to pull out the dirt devil. Ezekiel 3:1-3. Some of you don't even know what that is. You're too young. "Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate. And it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness." Eat. You know, in the natural, you can tell if somebody's not eating. Sooner or later, it shows up. You say, well, not in the spiritual. Oh, you can tell. Oh, you can see it. Wow, can you ever see it? You can tell who's eating and who's not. Open thy mouth. And Christian, eat. Eat, Christian. Keep eating. Never stop eating. Psalm 119:103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Jeremiah 15:16. "Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Don't lick the literal page. Don't rip out a page and eat it. Though it might not hurt, and it might just be the closest the words have come to getting inside of some. The reading is the eating. The taking in, the listening is the eating. Honey indeed. Joy and rejoicing of heart. Get the word inside, and it will change the heart and the meditation of the heart, which will directly impact the words of our mouths. Quick! Add to 19, 100. And take in these words from Psalm 119, Psalm 119, 9 to 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? Somebody came into the house of the Lord today. How can I? How can I cleanse my way? By taking heed according to the word, according to your word, God. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate, literally look into your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Young man, young woman, young Christian, and the not so young, the advancing Christian, the advanced Christian, eat pilgrim, eat. Keep eating. Never stop eating. Book for a lifetime. Isn't it incredible how it speaks? Every season, every circumstance. The book is alive. It's not dead. You might be dead to the book, but the book ain't dead. The book is alive. The living word of God. Open it. Respond to it. It's alive. It's living. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, no doubt. This fear, this reverence, and it's clean. And my, does it know how to clean. Verses 9 to 10, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Converting souls, making wise the simple, pulling lives together, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes, sheer wonder, miracle, marvel, phenomenon. The voice Bible, the awe of the eternal is clean, sustaining for all of eternity. The eternal's decisions are sound. They are right through and through. They are worth more than gold, even more than abundant pure gold. They are sweeter to the tongue than honey or the drippings of the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Strong warning and great reward. Verses 12 to 13, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Is this not your prayer? The Wycliffe Bible, end of alien sins. Spare thy servant. If those have not lordship of me, then I shall be undefiled of alien sins or without them. And I shall be cleansed of the most sin. And spare thy servant from willful sins. For if they have no rule or lordship over me, then I shall be undefiled or without blemish or without fault, and I shall be cleansed from all great sin. You know, people of God, we still need help. We still need his help. And we will still need his help until we reach glory, Lord. Keep your servants. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a way to end the psalm. Spurgeon said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, quoting the word. A sweet prayer and so spiritual that it is almost as commonly used in Christian worship as the apostolic benediction. Words of the mouth are mockery if the heart does not meditate. The shell is nothing without the kernel, but both together are useless unless accepted. And even if accepted by man, it is all vanity if not acceptable in the sight of God. We must in prayer view Jehovah as our strength enabling and our Redeemer saving, or we shall not pray aright. And it is well to feel our personal interests so as to use the word my, or our prayers will be hindered. Our near kinsman's name, our goal or Redeemer, makes a blessed ending to the psalm. It began with the heavens, but it ends with him whose glory fills heaven and earth. Blessed kinsman, give us now to meditate acceptably upon thy most sweet love and tenderness. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable, acceptable in your sight, O God. What other or other sight matters if not acceptable in the sight of the Lord? The Wycliffe Bible, and the speeches of my mouth shall be such that they please. And the thinking of mine heart is evermore in thy sight. Lord, mine helper and mine again buyer. I love that. May the words out of my mouth be such that they please thee. And may the thinking of my heart be acceptable before thee forevermore. O Lord, my helper and my redeemer. Not just when I'm in church. Words of my mouth, utterance, speech, word, saying, promise, command, meditation of my heart, musing, resounding music. It speaks of this plotting. It's the sounding of the harp, the sound of the harp when struck. You see, it's the desire of the Christian that these be acceptable in their Lord's sight. Delightful and a delight. The meditation of the heart is of great importance. Matthew 12, 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Not only truth, but a diagnosis. Proverbs 4, 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I mean, what words are these? Proverbs 10 verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. James 3, 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. What's the diagnosis if this be the case? Luke 6, 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You say, you can't tell what's going on in someone's heart. Oh, I can hear it. Can't you? A couple of these with this set of verses, Philippians 4, 8 to 9, reading from the Amplified Bible, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. These things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life, and the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. I mean, we know how the things we think on, dwell on, can affect our hearts. The things we fill our minds with and meditate on, think continually on, the centering of our minds, the implanting of our hearts. We know the thoughts, and we know the thoughts that arise. We know the work of the enemy, and we know the forces that come against our minds, against our thought life. We need to do all we can to guard our minds, that our hearts might be guarded. We need to watch the intake. You see, we have much to do with the control of the intake. That which we fill our minds with. About to fill the mind. Is it true? Noble? Just, pure, lovely? Of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy? Many avenues seek to fill the mind. You see, it's not always an ocean or the wide mouth of a river, but these tributaries. And how many hearts become unholy meditation grounds because of the filling and meditating of the mind? In the mind and on the mind, and the poison is flowing to the heart. And the groundskeeper's off duty, or perhaps sleeping, and the meditation of the heart is converted in wrong manner. The words of the mouth are soon affected. Thank God that some are shocked and jolted as the first few unthinkable words exit the mouth. So quick these are. My Lord, I'm sorry. My heart. Something's not right with my heart. Its meditation is off. Its meditation is off, Lord. My heart needs a touch. My heart needs healing. Lord, help my heart. Sadly and tragically, some justify the meditation and justify the rotten fruit of the lips. Believers, friends, let's do the best. Philip's New Testament, if you believe in goodness and if you value the approval of God, fix your minds on the things which are holy and right and pure and beautiful and good. Model your conduct on what you have learned from me and on what I have told you and have shown you, and you will find that God of peace will be with you. Psalm 45:1, the Darby translation, my heart is welling forth with a good matter. I say what I have composed, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Wow, what a verse. I mean, I know it's probably not possible, but can you imagine if everything we said was composed? Having touching the king. The CEV, my thoughts are filled with beautiful words for the king, and I will use my voice as a writer would use pen and ink. Psalm 49:3, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Surely, this finds application here, Hebrews 13, 14, and 15. For here we have no continuing city. Hallelujah. But we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks, confessing, giving thanks to his name. You know what? I think we need the Holy Ghost. No, I don't think. We need the Holy Ghost. John 7, 37-39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, it's the way it should be. It's the way it's meant to be. The Holy Ghost received will change the meditation of the heart, and the outflow will be the proof. Remember the prophet Isaiah? He knew the truth, the diagnosis. He even diagnosed himself when he saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, the train of his robe filling the temple, and when he saw and heard the angels and how they covered their faces and their feet, oh, they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah 6, 5 to 7. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Can I get a witness? Isaiah 6, 7 to 9, he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts acceptable in his sight.'" Touch our lips, Lord. Touch our lips, these feeble lips, with the live coal taken from the altar. And may the coal burn deep, the fire and heat all the way to the heart and to every other facet of our being. Let's have the worship ministry, please, return. You know, if the heavens declare the glory of God, these tongues of ours, this flow from the heart, must do the same. Day unto night, well, day unto day, the utterance of right holy speech, and night unto night, this revealing wondrous knowledge, let it forever be that our primary concern, one of our primary concerns, is that the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable to the Lord. We live in the day and we live in the night until heaven and earth pass away. Madame Day, hold your classes. Professor Knight, keep your lectures. And I know you will. I know you both will. For you are in the service of the King. And may we be your star students, even aides, as class is in session and the lectures are delivered. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people. That is strength, dominion, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. What a witness! You're like, we need more witnessing in the city. Dear God, the sun rose today. We do need more witnessing in this city, but you know what I'm saying. Look, people. And you know, maybe it just might help all of us with our witnessing. Walking around all day like, Lord, open the door. Lord, open the door. Lord, give me an opportunity. Lord, somebody said, did you see that sunrise? Did you see the northern lights? Yes! The glory of God! What are you talking about? I'm not sure about that. Oh, it's the glory of God, all right. Let me tell you about the Creator. Let me tell you about the one who paints the skies. Open door. Seize the day. Seize the moment. Carpe diem. God help us now. You know, if creation sings his praise, so will I. If it all reveals his name, I'm going to try. If creation sings you praise, Lord, so will I. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. If creation still obeys, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the winds go where you send, if the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. This is our God. This is God. Can I get a witness? Somebody's got to give him glory today. Somebody's got to shout his praise. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Let's stand in his house today.